Well, there is a lack of staff seemingly absolutely everywhere. I mean, at your favorite restaurant, you can't seem to find a server. There's not enough nurses in hospitals. And at the airports, forget it. Pilots are even unloading bags to try to help out. The labor shortage has hit basically every single industry in the country. So what is going on here? Where have all the workers gone? Will they ever come back? Moshe Lander is a senior lecturer in the Department of Economics at Concordia University, and he joins us now. Hi, Moshe.
Hello.
Hey, great to talk to you. It's been way too long. So I keep hearing from people, you know, well, you got to blame CERB. It's all CERB's fault. But how can that still be the case at this point?
So to the extent that it's CERB's fault, it's people got really used to that money. And until it completely dries up, they might be hesitant to go back. I could use as an analogy, think of how many people would probably relate to the idea that as soon as they got that first CERB payment, their response was, and when does the next one come? Right. So we get really addicted to it really quickly. And that means that when we stop getting it, it takes a while for us to adjust our behavior and realize, you mean it's not coming again? Until the bank account is truly dry and empty, some people might be staying away.
Okay, but hasn't CERB more or less dried up? I mean, it's pretty, the requirements to be able to get it at this point are pretty hard to meet.
It should. And so we should expect to see, and that's exactly why this is newsworthy, right, is what else must be going on then other than just the CERB payment cause people to want to stay away. And so that's what's the thing that's surprising to people is, yeah, we should be seeing people by now, and we're still not.
So the CERB payments basically started this, and we know that while people were at home and they weren't working, they had a lot of time to reflect on how they were earning a living. Do you think a whole lot of people are just like, well, that job stunk and I was getting paid lousy and I'm not going back?
Yeah, and that becomes the second factor in the story here is that, you know, people have had 2 years of scarring from COVID. And so whether you got COVID, didn't get it, whether you've had it multiple times, whatever, it's almost like we're in a state right now of like post-traumatic stress disorder, right? That we need some time to kind of process what we've just gone through for the last 2 years. And so there might be a certain element where people are saying, yeah, what seemed like a good idea before COVID no longer seems like a good idea. And so there are certain industries above all where people are saying, that just wasn't fun. And, you know, again, by way of analogy, how many people have gone back to a movie theater and maybe notwithstanding going to see like Top Gun or something, you go to the movie theater and you say, that wasn't as fun as I remember it. I actually kind of like watching it on the couch. And so I think that there's certain sectors where people are saying, I don't know that I want to go back to it in the way that I was being paid, in the way that I was being treated. And maybe I'm going to look for something else. And until they come along with much, much higher wages or much better working conditions, thanks, but no.
Okay, but then it makes me think immediately, it's a pretty easy fix that employers who are desperate for employees need to treat them better and pay them more.
So this is perfect. This now leads to point number three. That's exactly it, right? The old way is when you have a labor shortage, like when you have a shortage of anything, is you drive the price higher. The catch here is that firms themselves have also suffered a little bit of that PTSD, and so they're suffering as well. And while some companies are talking about record profits, there's a lot of companies, especially in the food and beverage industry, that were teetering on the brink even before COVID. Now they're saying, look, if we increase wages to try and find these workers, that's going to push us into the red and probably push us out for good. So you know what? Rather than pay higher wages, we're just going to close on Mondays and Tuesdays, or we're just going to close down during the middle of the day and we'll just operate the breakfast hour and we'll operate the dinner hour, and we'll just do without labor until people come to their senses. And so there could be that element then where just some of these industries are saying it's just not worth it. And that kind of deals with the way that Air Canada and WestJet said, rather than pay pilots more, rather than pay the flight staff more, you know what? We're just canceling 10,000 flights. Figure your own way home.
So in a flight situation, I can see how that would work because people are still going to need flights and want flights and they'll just adapt to fly on different days or whatnot. But in a, like I'm thinking about a business, like our local bakery now, like you mentioned, is closed on Sundays and Mondays. And now before going, I'm thinking to myself, are they open today? Are they closed today? And I feel like I'm less inclined to just go by and grab a coffee and a croissant. So is this going to hurt smaller businesses because of that instability factor?
It could, and that's the thing, is that even though we're kind of viewing us in some sort of a post-COVID world, notwithstanding there might be a wave coming in the next month or so, but if we're thinking that we're in a post-COVID world, it doesn't mean that we've gotten to a stable point yet where this is the way things are going to be going ahead, right? We're not at that new normal yet. And so until we get to the new normal, there's a lot of apprehension on businesses, consumers, staff that are just saying, I want to see how this plays out before I commit myself. And so businesses for now might be saying, hey, the Sunday, Monday closing thing is a good idea. And then once they realize that 6 months, 12 months have passed, they might say, all right, I'm ready to dip my toe back into the waters and see what happens when I open up again on those Sundays and Mondays.
And then I bet inflation is just making everything that much worse because you can't afford to pay the employees more. You're closing down some days. You're still paying more, as much or more than ever for whatever you're providing, whatever service or product you're providing. What's going to give here, basically, Moshe?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And it's not just that inflation is the problem. It's take a look at the areas where inflation is the biggest. It's in rents. It's in food and groceries. It's in gasoline. And guess what industries you just described? They're all dependent on transportation, food and groceries, and rent. And so they're the ones that are experiencing above those headline numbers that are grabbing our attention. So they're saying that, look, until that number comes back down to the way we used to remember it, you know, 2% inflation, nice and stable, we can't make these decisions. There's too much uncertainty out there. And if we try and pass the cost along to our customers, they might walk away for good, or it might trigger some sort of competitor that comes in and tries to undermine us. So we're operating in a situation where we just don't know what's going on, and that's why they're being really hesitant. The Bank of Canada is going to increase interest rates by a honking large amount in about a week or so, and they're going to really try and apply the brakes to inflation. But that could take another 6 to 12 months, so we could see this going on for a little while now.
Great. Thanks, Moshe.
I don't. Coffee and croissant.
Yes, I will very much. And I'll pay more for it, and I'll smile nonetheless. I very much appreciate the time with you. Thank you, Moshe.
Anytime.